everybody. It's another weekend. Welcome to Grace Versus Podcast. We hope last week's message met you well. We hope you enjoyed the message of last week. We pray and we hope that today's message would also meet you well.
Well, thank you very much. Hey guys, so we are going to continue on our series of love.
Last week we spoke about love, and that was the first episode of love. We dived into how God loved man, and unconditional love, just basically what it is.
Today we'll be talking about a very interesting character in the Bible, the prophet Hosea. And one of my very touching stories, right, occurred in Hosea 1, where God gave Hosea a very interesting, like, a unique assignment, right? Like, I wonder how that would have played out in today's day and age. Like, just saying, you know what, let's just read the passage. So, let's read the passage so we know what we're doing.
The word of the Lord which came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, during the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take yourself a wife of harlotry, and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for yet a while, and I will punish the son, and I will punish the house of Jehu, sorry about that, for the bloodshed of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day, I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." Then she conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Name her Loruhama." Wow.
Very cute name.
"For I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel, that I would ever forgive them."
Very deadly meaning.
"But I will have compassion on the house of Judah and deliver them by the Lord their God. I will not deliver them by bow, sword, battle, horses, or horsemen." When she had weaned Loruhama, I have to take a break.
Yeah, take your time.
"She conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said, name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God."
Being power. Rejected by God.
"Yet the number of the sons of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it is said to them, 'You are not my people,' it will be said to them, 'You are the sons of the living God.' Hope. And the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel will be gathered together, and they will appoint for themselves one leader, and they will go up from the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to be breaking down this part of the scripture we just read, right? So in summary, God asked Hosea to do one very important thing, right?
For me. Important and very unusual thing.
What she did, then he just had to obey God's word. So as a prophet, he needs to experience God before preaching about God's word.
Yeah. Alright, so after God has asked her to marry Harlot, right? She gave birth to 3 children. Though their names sounded really cute, but the meanings of their names were terrible. Okay, so let's break the scripture down. We're going to be starting from the first verse, and I'll read. When the Lord began to speak to Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord." Sam.
Yeah. So, the verse 1, as we see how the this is majorly what happened in Israel. So you could see what's playing out. God is looking at them and he's trying to see what can we do to fathom the situation. Because it also took me back to the beginning part when they crossed the Red Sea and all that, and they saw the whole signs and wonders God did for them, you know, bringing water from the rock, parting the Red Sea, taking them away from Egypt. You understand?
Yeah, like, and yeah, delivering them.
They still went to mold a calf and worship a calf right there in the wilderness when Moses went up to get the
Lord.
So you see that even after they still see what God is doing and what God has done,
they still needed signs.
Like, they still moved away, drifted away from God. And that's what is happening here right now. You know,
what was God trying to do, right?
But now, I think I should be speaking concerning other people's lives.
That's the most interesting part of this story, because you know who prophets are during those days. You know, you understand the temple, how it works. They have the inner temple, the outer court.
Inner chamber.
Only the prophets
were allowed to go into the inner chamber.
The inner court, right? And not just because you're a prophet, you have to cleanse your
hands. You have to be clean.
Like, there have to be a lot of, what's it called now? A lot of sacrifices.
Sacrifice and cleansing.
Yes, to be able to go into the inner court. And then you hear from God, the scribes write them down, and then you come out and give. So, if the prophet is more of like, should I say the Pope?
A representation of God.
Yeah, the Pope in Vatican is just like number one. And God is telling you to go and marry a harlot. That's the least of. Come on.
I actually feel like this is what the assignment that was given to Hosea was like a symbol of what Israel was doing to God. Like, God actually wanted them to feel the pain. He wanted Hosea to feel that pain that he was feeling. Just imagine, like, loving somebody and then the person is trying to... The person keeps repeating mistakes. Do you get?
Very painful something, right? You can imagine the relationship.
Over and over, and then you keep forgiving and you're like... But then, it is... That's why you're human. That's why you're human.
At the end of the day, God always uses us. If you go to
giving his own process of getting to know God for himself. Yeah. Hosea had to obey.
So, on a side note, many people have also pondered that. Did she become a harlot after Hosea married her? Or she was already...
Okay, if you read verse 1 very well, not really verse 1, verse 2 says, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, meaning she was already a harlot.
Not just, she was even cheap. He said, go to the house of harlotry.
A house of harlotry.
Something that, you know, gone deep down inside. It's not a today business. They've been running it like
everyday thing, right?
So, going to the house of harlotry, right? So, they've already been into the business before. And, you know, when you're into the business, as at that time, that point in time, that period, people already would know it.
Yeah, like, it becomes so popular. Like, this is your trade, right?
Those days, you know, they despise things like this. Like,
then, you remember man that was about to be stoned by people.
Yeah.
They said she was an adulterous woman, and they actually wanted to stone her because of what they feel she did or what they think she did.
Well, so at the end of the year, I don't think it matters how much she did.
It was something that she was already used to.
So, alright, the second classroom. So he went and took Goma, the daughter of right? And she conceived and bore him a son. But the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel. Bring a pain to the kingdom of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day.
There's a history.
Yeah,
there's a history to it. There's a history to it. Something happened before now.
Right, so this is like, this is God just taking us out of this world.
For what they did.
For what they have done. For the bloodshed they had committed. For the, you know, for all the
atrocities.
And no doubt this happened after the pattern of judgment. When Uzziah and Gomer first married, she probably promised to be a Christian. She probably showed every sign of being committed to Uzziah. After a while, given the circumstances, she fell back into Christianity.
What actually happened easy for. It wouldn't have actually have been easy for Hosea to get the attention of Gomer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I feel.
Okay,
like, taking her out of something she was familiar.
Let's imagine that. The person who was it? What's
to marry
her.
She'll be like, she'll feel really ugly. So.
Yeah, first thing first, she'll be really
okay, like, are you okay?
I think at that point, that she wouldn't want to decline because he's a prophet. So she wouldn't want to decline. Yeah, Uzziah was a popular prophet.
Yeah,
that
so
time.
She wouldn't want to decline and say no.
So she actually agreed to marry because he's a prophet. But.
You know,
She always be who she is. Even after giving birth, after getting married, after the whole state, we still have to go back to what she was comfortable with.
Yes.
So I think that's the message God was really trying to pass across.
Part of the reason why she went back to prostitution work was because she felt neglected. Maybe.
How?
Uzziah actually neglected
her. It wasn't stated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, moving on, right? So, I think the real message here is God knows that, okay. It's
Imagine, to carry it.
In a day or time, like, that's a story that you train. Meaning, God wanted to touch every single person in the Israel.
Who's that?
What story that you this is our life. Or this was our life. Now, this prophet is coming. Showing her in me, showing her love. Agape.
Interesting.
People of Israel, let's see where this leads to. Let's see where this leads to. As we read, we already read, know that, okay, she didn't say anything. She felt bad for the position. As God should hold some more to make you know.
You know, the more interesting, this story, the more interesting part was she fell back. I can imagine what people would also say as at that time. That, okay, your prophet, Hosea, the person you got married to. No, she's gone back to where she's coming from. So this is an important lesson in this age and in this time, that no matter when people like that fall, instead of criticizing, before you criticize, the first thing first is to pray. So that you understand what is actually going on, because on a normal human mind, you feel it's just a prostitute or Uzziah trying to. No, it's actually the will of God playing at this age and time. At that age and time, I mean. So it marvels me that this kind of love that God is showing. Like, man, what? Like, what so, kind of love is
so
that?
So deep, so reckless, that you can't even understand.
The love is so deep.
You know what I feel? Like, I feel like God is love.
Yeah, God is love. He's just
love. Like, he had compassion.
Who would be able to send his son to just go and die for people? He didn't do anything, just go so that I can just get these people back to myself. Like, love is so massive. So it's a wake-up call to everyone that no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. What matters is now, and the future. Are you ready to take that bold step to come back to God? That's just where it is. He's always knocking at the door. He's always there. He's always there. So, right?
Why did God tell Uzziah to name the children after the atrocities that the people of Israel had done and the things that he was actually going to do?
Alright, before we answer this question, let's do a very little breakdown of Uzziah's first son, Jezreel, right? Okay, so the first son born to Uzziah and Gomer was Jezreel. And the name spoke of two things. First, Jezreel means scattered. Meaning the people of Israel had scattered, they were no longer united at that point. Right? This was after they had revolted against the first king, the king of Jehoram, and Israel would soon be scattered in exile by the conquered Israel. Second, Jezreel refers to the valley of Jezreel, where Jehu, the founder of the dynasty that holds Jehoram true, massacred all the descendants of God, thus establishing his throne. God directed Uzziah to name his son Jezreel, the founder of his promise to avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel by judging the house of Jehoram.
So, why your question was like, why would God ask Uzziah to name his first son?
The name Jesse was just a confirmation of his promise to have been mentioned by joining the house of Jacob, right? So I think we're just trying to.
Yeah, this is another lesson for everyone. Because that name was actually prophecy playing out the promise as fully as said. It's all playing together. Everything is just intertwined in the lens of God. There's nothing happening, you know, randomly. You understand? It's just under the plan of God. Yes,
this is your name.
I'm telling you, just the
even your name.
Alright, so now let's discuss about his first daughter. Right? And the passage says, and she conceived a being a boy daughter. God said to him, call her name Ruth, for I will no longer have mercy on the house, but I will utterly take them away, yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah. We will save them by the Lord. will save them by the Lord their God. Okay, call her name. What are you saying? Yes. So, the daughter's name was just the promise of promise. The next verse is, and when she had she conceived a boy and a son. God said, call his name Abraham, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Right? So, this true promises. The prophecies that God wanted to play out in the life of Israel. Right? There's anything we've learned in this series is that God is always stretching and opening up, even to people like the Israelite they had, repeatedly chosen to fall short.
You know, while I was coming today, I heard something, and what I heard was that this Grace Church, Grace in quotes, that the Grace Church are the people that are very unforgiving. And I began to do a general review on what that thing mean, or what that statement meant. And you see, situations have happened in various churches around the world. And you see that the way they handle the situation is more of the old, like they handle it according to the law. You know, they handle it according to the law. And when people mess up like that, they try to move away the love, you know, that love where you just bring the person back and try to you know, make the person stand up again in the 2 feet in Christ. But then there are a lot of things that come, you know, because of what the person did, you know, a kind of banter, all that. And I wouldn't blame the person for thinking so. I believe with this segment that we've done, we should be able to know how to take steps, you know, little steps and all that, the promise for future restoration. So it's a wake-up call to everyone. And I just hope that people would see things from the lens of God. You know, you see the way God handles things and the way he thinks, the way he acts, because you have to let that love be inside of you first of all before you can even emit the love out to other people, which brings us to the fruit of the Spirit. But that's another whole topic on its own. You know, the fruit of the Spirit helps us to emit this love, the love that God is talking about.
Sorry to cut you short. From verse 10, it's actually verse 10 and 12 for me, verse 10 and 11 for me, where he said those children, I think it was Lo Ami, he said that, for you are not my people and I am not your God. That was verse 9. Then in verse 10, he said Lo Ami's name was going to change from you are not my people and I am not your God to you are the sons of the living God. It just shows that if we acknowledge our wrongs and then we come running to him, we become sons. He has actually made us sons. But then most people don't have that knowledge that they're actually sons of God, because they are not yet, they've not yet experienced the love of God.
It is the knowledge that grants you access.
Okay.
Your knowing grants you access to receiving.
So for me, I would say that we should actually have this knowledge of the love of Christ. Have the knowledge of God for ourselves first, then before spreading it out, right?
Yeah. So Fumi, please help us out. At least, what have you learned, or what do you have for
the people listening to you regarding this topic?
Israelites sinned against God, and God was looking for a way to punish them. I think he went through Uzziah the prophet, and Uzziah obeyed. Then with the names given to his children were just a reminder of his promises, that making them to reminding them of what he had told them before, and letting them know that he can actually keep his promise.
Okay. So this brings us to the end of this segment. We draw the curtain, and I just want to employ us to always show and emit love wherever we are, in our houses, in the offices, not just indoors, also outdoors, in the communities, in the church. Try to emit the love that is inside of you, even if the person will not, because some people actually emit love for reward. But the kind of love we are discussing, the kind of love God has, is unconditional. We are not waiting to receive anything before we do or we profess or we emit that love. So it is the knowledge that you have that will grant you access into receiving from God. So I pray God helps us in our endeavors, in Jesus' name. So we bring the end to this segment. We love you all. Remember to continue to share this link on your status, on every social media.
We need your feedback too.
Yes, and also your feedbacks.
Yes. I had a lot of feedbacks last week.
Yeah, from last session, right? Quite interesting. Yes. So your feedback is highly appreciated. Listen to the podcast, listen to the teaching, and then give your reviews on what you think about the story too, so that we can all learn from each other. Thank you so much. Next week is another time.
Thank you. Thank you.